You know, I put together something here, and I was thinking about what I was going to say here tonight, and I come across this that I'd put together a while back. It's called, Where Are We Going? And I'm going to read from Hebrews 11:6 and from the New Living Translation, and then we're going to drop down to verses 8 and 9. And it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists, and He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Now drop on down there to verse number 8. Maybe I'm going a little fast. I didn't give y'all a chance to find it, so I better stop. Let y'all find it. Hebrews 11, verse 8. We're on now. All right. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went not knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the promises. Now, there's a story that's told of the Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes. When he was 88, he found himself on a train, and the conductor come by. You know, this is a while back. And he was asking him for his ticket. And he looked everywhere, searched his pockets and his billfold and everything else, and without any success. And the conductor told him, said, well, don't worry about it, Justice Holmes. The Pennsylvania Railroad will be happy to trust you. When you reach your destination, you'll probably find the ticket and you can mail it to us. And, you know, the conductor was trying to be kind to him, you know. But Holmes said to the conductor, my dear man, my problem is not where's my ticket, but rather where am I going? You know, that's what I want. That's the subject tonight. Where are we going? You know, each one of us has probably felt like Wendell Holmes there occasionally, because in times life we feel like that. We can't get a clear picture of what's going on, where are we going, what's happening. There are times in life when we have no clue of what's going on. Have you ever woke up sometimes and wondered, what am I doing here? You know, you ever stopped and said, man, where is life taking me? And, you know, sometimes we know there's a destination, but we don't know where it is. Like Abraham, the Lord told him to leave and go to Ur of Chaldees and go to a land that he had given him. Now, he knew the destination, but he didn't know where it was. And it's, you know, it says he was looking for it. So the Bible says, not knowing where he was going, Abraham left home. You know, he gathered up all his belongings and gathered up everything, his wife, and then he got his nephew Lot, and they set out. And they had no idea where they're going. They just knew that God told them to go. And so there they are. He didn't know what was in store for him when he got there. He didn't know even when he would get there. But he didn't know what was going to happen along the way. All Abraham knew is God called him to step out and to leave where he was at. Now, you know, that's pretty drastic. All you got to, you have to leave what you know. You have to leave your relatives and everything. And now you're going out to a place that you don't even know where it is. You know, I have been at that place before, and I imagine some of you have too. I know I was associate pastor with my father-in-law. I was there for almost 6 years, and I was destined to take over that church. But then the Lord spoke to us to to leave and go to work for my father at Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Now, there I was, had been an associate pastor, been involved in the ministry. I was preaching at least once a week, twice a week, involved in everything. And all of a sudden, God asked me to leave and go to work for Kenneth Hagin Ministries. No preaching responsibilities whatsoever. I was a crusade director, setting up crusades all over the country, driving a motorhome out on the road for 3 and 4 months at a time before we even come back to our home base, you know, and that seemed strange. But before that, what seemed strange to me was I'm in my senior year of Bible college, and I get drafted, or going to get drafted, and I go and join the Army. Now I'm 3 years in the Army. You know, and sometimes I said, what in the world is going on? But sometimes we've got to learn how to follow God, no matter whether we can see what's happening or not. We may not like it. I mean, look here. Abraham went to this place and he didn't know a soul. He didn't know anybody. He didn't have any relatives there. He didn't have any connections there. He didn't even speak their language. Now, what kind of life is that? Living with a bunch of strangers that you can't even talk to. And on top of that, he's living in a tent. You know? I wonder if Abraham ever thought about going back. I wonder if he thought to himself, man, what have I got myself into? That's what I thought. But you know what? He didn't. He continued on. I didn't. I just said, Lynette and I said, okay, this is what we know the Lord wants us to do. But he didn't have, it wasn't good there. I mean, all of a sudden, a famine came on the place, and he's about to starve to death, and he had to go down to Egypt to get some food to survive. When he got there, the princes of Egypt took his wife from him, and at one point, Abraham's got to be thinking, God, do you know what you're doing? Now, y'all looking at me like I fell out of a tree. I did, but I never didn't hit my head, okay? How many of you have ever felt like that as God has been leading you along? Any of you ever felt like that? God, what in the world is going on? Anybody ever been there besides? Oh, yeah, I got some company in this room tonight. But, you know, I don't find any record where Abraham ever said, I'm gonna go back where I come from. Now, he might not have known why it was happening. He might not have known what was going on, but he knew God had called him. He knew God had called him. And long as you know that God is in it, you know where you're going. You're going with God. You may not know it, but God knows it. Because, see, he doesn't give you the whole picture at once. He leads us one step at a time. And sometimes when life throws you a curve, he'll take that and turn it around for you if you'll just follow him. Come on now. Anybody here with me? Y'all gone home already. He knew that God said he would bless him if he would stay with him. The key to Abraham's success was that he held on to the promise of God. You know, where are we going? As long as we hold on to the word of God, it doesn't matter, we'll be blessed. Because he said he would bless us. Amen. You know, it's not a matter of where you're going. It's a matter, are you obeying God or not? Yes. You know, we've got to keep our eyes on the promises of God. Not on all the circumstances and everything that's happening around us. You know, God will call us out of our comfort zones. Boy, y'all are quiet tonight. Anybody ever had God get you out of your comfort zone? I mean, but you know what? we got to realize, why is he calling us out? So he can bless us. So he can bless us. You see, sometimes if we just get satisfied with where we are, we just get sad, everything is great, oh man, it's going great, everything going good, and then all of a sudden, the enemy slaps us up beside the head, and we say, what in the world's going on? Well, God will turn it around for you, if you'll stay with him. He didn't call you and tell you that you are going to be blessed all the time, that you're not going to have any problems. You will be blessed, but you're going to have some problems. You know, it was always funny. People always say, life is not a bed of roses. And a lot of people don't understand what they're talking about. You know what people are talking, you know what that really means? Roses is nice and it's good, but there's thorns there too. And that's what people are trying to say. Life is not a bed of roses. It's good. And following God is not a bed of roses. It's good and you're blessed. But hey, there's thorns with roses. Yes. Hello? Amen. Anybody ever grabbed a hold of a rose and, oh man, I've done it. Yes. You know, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. If somebody asked you, where are you going? I'm going with God. I'm going with God. God is my source. God will bless me. God will take care of me. Hello now. Come on. You know, sometimes it's how we look at stuff. The story, you know, I don't know. I don't know whether it's a true story or not. It's just wrote, you know, Sherlock Holmes. Somebody wrote it, and so they wrote this in the story. Sherlock Holmes and Watson, they went camping, and so in the middle of the night, Holmes woke up. Sherlock did, and he looked up, and all he could see was stars. So he woke Watson up, and he said, "Watson, what do you see?" And as he woke up from his sleep, he looked up and he said, "Stars." "Yes, but what do the stars tell you?" "Well, cosmologically, they tell me that we're part of a large universe with billions of stars. Theologically, they tell me that we have a great God who made all of this. Meteorologically, they tell me that the sky is clear and we're going to have good weather tomorrow. Temporarily, they tell me it's the middle of the night and we should be asleep." And he said to Sherlock, "Well, what are they telling you?" "Well," he replied, "they're telling me that somebody has stole our tent." See, Watson saw something entirely different from what Sherlock saw. See, but they were both at the exact same place, and they were looking at the same thing. But they both saw things totally different. You know, others might have saw things differently, but Abraham saw it God's way. Other people may see different things, but you've got to see it God's way. Doesn't matter what this one says or that one says. You know, so many times as growing up with my dad, and if you don't know, my dad was Kenneth E. Hagin. They called him the modern day apostle of faith, but he didn't like that title, but they gave it to him anyway. And they'd come up to him and they would ask him different questions. "What do you see in this, Brother Hagin? What do you see here?" He said, and his answer emphatically was always, "What does the Bible say?" That's what he always answered. "Brother Hagin, what do you think about this?" "What does the Bible say?" You know, that's where we should look, is look at what the Word of God says. You know, it doesn't matter what this guy says or that guy says or somebody else says. What's important? What does God say? Some say, "Well, God never talked to me." Well, then you never read your Bible. Because this is God talking to us. That's what it was written for. Hello? You know, Abraham could have looked back and said, well, man, oh, look what I left and look where I am. But he didn't. He chose instead to look to God. You know, we're all looking at the same thing. All of us do. But you know what? If we all stepped outside right now and there was an accident out there on the street and they asked each one of us about that accident, ever how many people here, there would be that many different variations of the same thing. Do you understand that? You see, we are all living at the same time. We're all looking at the end time of this generation. But we're all seeing things differently. And if we're not careful, we react differently. But we need to see the things the way the Word of God says it. You see, we can look at this present situation and wonder, God, where are you? I mean, some of you already this year, this first, what? We're going into, this is the fifth month. We're going to be in the sixth month. Half the year is gone. You may have faced a tough year so far. You know, and economy may not be like we need it to be. Jobs may be scarce. Financially, you may not be where you think you should be. We can look at our present situation and wonder, God, where are you? Where are we going? Or we can look ahead to the promises of God, knowing that God said, if you'll follow me, if you'll believe me, if you'll stay with me, I'll see you through. Yes. Hello. Amen. You know. See, what are you to see today? Do you see the problem or do you see the promise? Amen. Come on. I challenge you today. Look at the promises of God. Can I persuade you to take your eyes off of the present situation and grab hold of the promises of God and realize that He's got something good in store for you? Are we going to claim it? Are we going to let it go? It's up to you. It's not up to God. God's already told you right here what He'll do if you'll stay with Him, if you'll call it out, if you'll call out and say what God says. Amen. Now, we're looking at some other things. This is the end time that's been prophesied in the Word of God. You know, many people wonder what's going to happen. I can tell you what's going to happen. Exactly what the Bible says. Exactly what the Bible says. You know, all through Scripture, God's people face different situations where they could have given up, but they didn't. They trusted God and they came out victoriously. Where do you see today? Where are you going? Man, look at the history of the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt's bondage, went to the promised land, everything going good, and then they got in Babylonian captivity. Then the Persians defeated the Babylonians and took over. Then the Greeks defeated the Persians, and they unified the people with a common language and customs. And remember, Greek's the language that was spoken when Jesus was here. And then the Romans took over and defeated the Greeks and built roads and transportation possible to the known world. When Jesus was born, the stage was set for the gospel to be spread all over the world. And it was. History is going to repeat itself. The first coming of Jesus Christ was when He came to this earth. And the gospel went. Paul spread the gospel to the known world at that time with his missionary journeys. And the second coming of Christ is coming. When will it be? I don't know. Don't anybody know. But the Bible says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world to a witness to all nations, and then will the end come. People used to wonder about that, and when I was a kid growing up, 75 years ago, people would say, how in the world are we going to preach this to the whole gospel to the whole world? Well, right now, it's being done. Through the internet, the gospel is going all over the world. Last night we had, Friday night we had Rhema graduation, and we streamed it, and over 6,000 people were watching us from 87 different countries, and we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The gospel is being beamed all over the world. We're living in a generation that I believe will see the coming of the Lord. And you know, just because you see trouble rising on every hand, the Word of God already told us that. And if you'll notice, through the centuries, leaders have tried to stamp out Christianity, and they hadn't yet, and they're not going to. Instead of eliminating Christianity, it has grown, and is growing today. Exactly what will happen is exactly what the Word of God says. I want to encourage you not to miss out on what God has planned for you. I want you to get involved and quit asking yourself, where am I going? Just start asking yourself, am I following God? Am I doing what God asked me to do? Is my faith strong enough to carry me through? If not, get in the Word and get your faith built up. See, what are you focusing on? You focus on your problem or the promise, like I said a while ago? You know, I want to tell you something. Technology that we have today is getting the gospel into the remote areas of the world. You can go, and I've been there, you can go into the remote parts of the world. And I've had Rhema missionaries and people that are going in there. And people out in the bush, as we would call it, they have laptops. And they're hooking up. Let me tell you something. We're living in the end time. And we need to realize that's where we're going. Exactly where God said we would go. And 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a voice, with the shout of an archangel, and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall be raised first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds of glory to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where are you going tonight? I'm going to be with God. I don't know about you. And while I'm on my way there, I'm going to claim the promises of God in my life and see the blessings of God in my life. And you can too if you'll claim what God says. God said it. I believe it. That settles it as far as I'm concerned. Heavenly Father, I've talked to these people for a few moments tonight to stir up their hearts, to get them to realize that if they will follow you, they'll get the blessing. I thank you, Father, tonight that as we follow you, that we into the end time, that we will be caught up with you. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? That's something I wrote up about actually 2 years ago when I put that together. And this is the second time that I've ever preached it was tonight. And as I was sitting at my desk, going through papers, that's the way ministers do. They sit at their desk and they meditate and say, Lord, what do you want for the people tonight? And you start looking through things, and all of a sudden something jumps out at you as you're turning through all of your notes and on sermons and stuff, or turning through your log. All of a sudden something will jump out at you and say, I said, "Oh, Lord, is that what?" "Yep, that's what I want you to tell them tonight. I trust you got something out of that." Hallelujah. If you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know it before you leave here. If you just step out and come up here, I'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. Or you need to rededicate your life, or you may go to church and say, "Well, I don't know whether I've ever accepted Christ or not." I'll wait just a moment. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, nobody's moving. I guess we're all Christians in here tonight. Anybody need prayer for healing tonight? If anybody needs prayer for healing, everybody stand up. If anybody needs prayer for healing, step out, come down here, and we'll pray with you right now. God will heal you. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. What are you going to do? What are you going to do after tonight, huh? You going to follow God, or are you going to look at the problems? Or are you going to look at the promise? Come on, somebody answer me. Hallelujah. Oh, you need prayer.
Well, this baby had a something, cold, whatever they call them, and in Texas last week, and now my little five-year-old grandson that lives up there, he has the same symptoms. This one's over it, but the other one has a high fever.
We'll lay hands on this one for his brother.
For Samuel.
Father, I thank you right now that Samuel will be well. We lay hands on this one in lieu of laying them on Samuel. I thank you now that the healing power of God, there's no distance in the healing. It flows there into that young body. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, she has a decision. She needs wisdom. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I thank you that you would give her wisdom, understanding, knowledge, direction on the decision she has to make. I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. The Word of God said, if you like wisdom, ask and He'll give you wisdom. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, glory to God. Did anybody get anything tonight? Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to go to one door, and I think Miss Lynette's going to try to go to the other one, and we'll shake your hands as you go out. Hey, don't forget about next month, the baseball game, fellowship. That's the time. You see, what welds a church together is fellowship. When you come here, we weld ourselves together in a spiritual connection, but you weld yourself together in personal relationships as you come together and fellowship with one another. If you read in the Word of God, you talk about the early church, they were always coming together and fellowshipping together. Amen? That's where you get strength from, you draw strength from your fellow church member. All right, see Greg about that. And hey, we'll see you when I get back from my world travels. Pray for us, please. God bless.